salvation, deciding who to marry is the next most important decision you will ever make.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
This evening begins the concluding message by Pastor Brian Grant in his mini-series entitled, Finding the Love of Your Life. Previously, Pastor Grant looked at the question, how can I know if God intends marriage for me? For as he pointed out, God does not intend the gift of marriage for everyone. For some, he intends the gift of singleness. We have also listened as Pastor Grant shared from God's Word some very practical things that need to be examined and decided about a prospective mate long before a decision to marry is made. Using some of the same scriptures, Pastor Grant also showed how these same principles can offer hope for rebuilding a marriage that has gotten off to the wrong start. This evening, Pastor Grant will again go to Scripture as he attempts to explain in the most practical terms the parameters of developing a God-honoring relationship with a prospective spouse. Here now is Pastor Grant bringing the first part of his message, Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 3.
A man saw someone searching on the ground under a streetlight. And so he stopped the man and he said, what are you searching for? The man said, I'm looking for my wallet. So he asked, did you drop your wallet here? The man said, no, I didn't drop it here. I dropped it half a block up the road. The man says, then why aren't you looking a half a block up the road? The man said, there is no street light at that plus spot. You know, it's good to search, but we have to make sure we're looking in the right place. Amen? And this morning, I want to talk to you about where to find the love of your life. Where do we find the love of our life? After salvation, deciding who to marry is the next most important decision you will ever make. I was watching this week, not everybody agrees, this week I was watching this show, Married at First Sight. I don't know how many of you have ever seen Married at First Sight. For those of you who don't know, it's a TV show where experts pair couples, and the first time these people meet is at the altar. Oh, you didn't know, you haven't watched it then. No, by the way, if I might just say this, I said to my daughter, you know, I believe that arranged marriages are not such a bad thing. And I don't believe arranged marriages where you meet at the altar is the way to go. But anyhow, you meet your mate at the altar. It's quite an eye-opening experience that you actually have to introduce yourself. You don't know the person's name, you don't know anything about them, and you meet them at the altar and you say, hello, I'm John, and she says, I'm Mary. And so you go from there as you say your I do's. Well, I guess we've turned marriage into a reality show. But you know, it struck me that as I watched, the experts, so they call themselves, said, this is really a legally binding marriage. If it doesn't work, they can go straight to the divorce court. But that's not God's idea. That's not God's desire. As far as God is concerned, marriage is for keeps. And my young friend, my older friend, if you're here and you're single, it's because we believe that the Bible teaches us that marriage is for keeps. That's why we're spending time over these three messages is trying to help you, because this is something you must get right. And so it is my prayer that you'll commit to making sure you have God's mind regarding any prospective mate. Amen? So let's talk about where to meet your soulmate. Let's start by talking about where not to look. I'm going to suggest here's a place not to look. Not in a nightclub. Now, some of you might be shocked. Why would he even talk about that? Well, the reason I'm talking about that is because more and more Christian singles are visiting nightclubs looking for Mr. Right or Miss Right. Oh, you're surprised about that. But believe it or not, Christian singles are out there trying to find Mr. Right in the nightclub. Now, you might find a lot of fun people in the nightclub, but I have a funny feeling you're not going to find a young man or a young lady passionate about serving the Lord. You see, I believe the nightclub scene are really for those Christians who want to live in the gray zone. Now, I know about the gray zone because you better believe it. There was a time that if you couldn't show me a verse of scripture that spoke about a particular issue, I would have to say to you, what's so bad about it? Because you see, I really liked the gray zone. But I came to realize after a while that if I'm serious about serving God, I cannot live my life in the gray zone. Somebody say amen. Amen. I can't live in the gray zone if my real desire is to please God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says, fix your thoughts on what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is admirable, what is worthy of praise. Young person and older person, no matter whether you're single or you're married, the word of God is saying to you, the things we ought to be fixing our thoughts on are the things that are honorable, that are right, that are pure. Listen, if you notice, it's not saying what is bad about it. The question is, young person, what is good about it? What is right about it? What is honorable about it? 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 and 16. Here's another good verse. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You see, when we were boys, my brothers and I, we heard a lot about worldliness. That's a word that the church hardly ever talks about anymore. But you better believe it's something that is still a biblical principle, that the word of God is still warning us about worldliness. And the word of God says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, that the nightclub is not the place to find someone passionate about growing in the Lord. Can I get an amen to that? But secondly, where are we going to find our soulmate? I'm going to suggest a good place is the church or Christian events. A Bible teaching church is the best place to meet a serious Christian. Now, some ladies will say, the only problem, Pastor, is that there are not enough single men in my church. But ladies, do you realize the guys are saying the same thing? A young man once came to me discouraged that there were not enough serious Christian girls in his church. He was very discouraged. And so I asked him, I said, how many wives are you looking for? He was sort of puzzled. He said, just one. I said, you're just looking for one wife. I said, don't you believe that God, this great God, you don't believe he can find you one wife? Young lady, you see, sometimes we get so worked up about this statistics. There are too few of this and too many of that. And does God care about the statistics? If God has marriage, if this God who is so awesome, if marriage is for you in the right time, can you trust this great God to bring you one solitary man of God? Amen. But make sure not to miss church. Because the Sunday you miss church, maybe the Sunday he shows up. Oh, I got permission. Anything you hear me say, I have permission. So here is a brother. He's sitting by the sound room. No, he's sitting by the tape room. I think you all know who I'm talking about. He's sitting at the tape room, minding his own business. I'm sure he had been praying for a wife for a while. And then all of a sudden, a church visits us from New York City. And a charming little thing from Belize. Sister Sharon Henry. She shows up. That time, bald-headed Carlton had some hair. And Carlton, he looks at the window and he says, "Whoa! It's good to be in church. And it's good to be in ministry." Somebody say amen. Sharon showed up just that one time I was preaching at this conference. This is why I say, you know, it's good to go to staff. Here we were at this all-day preaching fest. I know for GCA you can't handle some of these preaching fests. Two or three sermons in the morning, two or three in the afternoon. I preached the Sunday, I preached the Monday. And I tell you, but there, lo and behold, there was this young couple. They're about 26-year-old, and they came because they wanted to chat with me. And they were telling me, you know, we came to the preaching fest. We call it a conference. But he says, "Do you know, we met each other 2 years ago at the preaching fest." They didn't call it a preaching fest. "And here we are married." You see, you just don't know. This is why it's a good thing sometimes. I say church or Christian events, great place. And this is why I'm trying to encourage our sister churches. You better believe I'm pushing as hard as I can with my other pastors to say we need to do more events that are not just by our church, but that they are global events that folks can get together. You see, when we were young boys, we had a lot of great events. Not young boys. I mean, when we didn't even know we were looking for around at the time. I was just really enjoying people's company. But we had so many events when we were coming along. But most of these events have died. And so we need to get revive some of these things. But the third thing is internet dating sites. As a young man, as I said, we had these things. But because there are less and less opportunities for people to meet other Christians from other churches, I'm finding that the internet is a growing influence as a place to meet other Christians. Now, I know that some Christians are against online dating because they feel it shows a lack of trust in God. Listen, let me ask you a question. If you needed a job, would you go online? The fact that you went online to check for a job, does it mean you didn't trust God?
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
So I want us to be very clear that before we impose our ideas on everybody else, this is why I want us to be very careful. So you might not like that idea, but I suggest you don't impose it on everybody else and conclude and tell everyone else that online dating is sinful, because the truth of the matter is we really cannot say it is. But come on now, make sure you're not online because you think God is dragging his feet. This is where online dating can be dangerous, because some people will go online because they think God is dragging his feet. He's taking too long. So I'm going to take this matter into my own hands. That's not a godly attitude. But I want to warn you, though, that online dating is full of danger. You know, we have some happily married folks in our church that met online. You probably didn't know that. Since I didn't get any permission, I won't give you any names. But we have some happily married couples in our church who met online. But despite that, there is no doubt that online dating is fraught with problems and danger. There are numerous risks of predators. And nowadays, my wife and my daughter talk to me about being catfished. You ever heard about being catfished? So that's the latest thing. You can be catfished. And if you want to find out what is catfishing, don't come to me. Ask my wife. So today, we're making available a book entitled .com Dating. I researched this and I read this book through because before I come on the pulpit to say to you that that if that is how the Lord seems to be leading you, you may want to explore there. I didn't want to say that unless I warned you about the danger and also provide you with some material that you can read so you could follow some safeguards. And this book is full of safeguards. I believe the book gives you great safeguards, things to do to make sure you reduce the risk. And so I'd encourage you to do that. But number four, friends and family. Family and friends. One of our members was in a supermarket and sensed that two young ladies were following her. So she clutched her handbag really tight. Eventually, the young ladies came and asked her, "Are you married?" By the way, this is a true story. She said, "No." They asked, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yes." They said, "That's great. We're looking for a single Christian woman just like you. And you seem like a really nice person. Our father is widowed and we're trying to find him a nice Christian wife." Just happened, by the way, a few months ago right here in Philadelphia. To one of our members. So you see, family and friends really can help. But might I suggest, I'm just saying to you, because sometimes, you know, folks, if your dad or your mom or somebody said, "You know, I have someone that..." Oh, no, 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 no. I am suggesting be open to family and friends making recommendations. Just make sure that you let them know you're interested in someone who's a serious Christian and has integrity. Amen? Those of you who would like to get in the game of arranging these things, sometimes it's best if you don't signal what you're up to. So my brother, my other brother, he was invited to a dinner by a couple. And when he went, there were several guests, including a young lady they were hoping he would take an interest in. But they didn't tell him. He didn't know what he was getting into. So there were all these people, so it didn't look like it was a setup. Everybody was for dinner. And lo and behold, my brother, his eye fell upon this wonderful lady. And I am glad to tell you, she's my sister-in-law. So family and friends really can help. They did such a good job of vetting her within 3 weeks. My brother called me 3 weeks after he met this girl. My brother called me and he said, "So Brian, what are you doing September so-and-so?" Of course, I'm kidding. I said, "What do you need to know for? Are you getting married?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You don't have a girlfriend. How are you going to get married without a girlfriend?" He said, "I met this girl 3 weeks ago." I said, "Are you crazy?" No, young person, 3 weeks. Don't come to us too quickly to say 3 weeks, all right? But I just give you that story. Now, that's enough about that part. No, there are obviously other places you can meet this person that God has, like just in daily life, work, the gym, all these other places. But make sure, you notice that we tried to do this in some order. We tried to help you to determine, what are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Before you even determine where it is that you're going to be, you better make sure you know who you're looking for. So if you missed those messages, you better go back and review message 1 and 2. And as I bring the final section to this series, we wish we had more time to add another, but this is all I'm going to be able to cover. I want to talk this morning about developing the relationship. There's so much I could say, but I want to give you this morning 4 important keys in developing a relationship. Number 1, and this is really the heart of what we want to share with you this morning. Number 1, focus on activities that glorify the Lord. Not every Christian is interested in growing. It's been said some Christians are like wheelbarrows. They're no good unless they're pushed. Some are like kites. If you don't keep a string on them, they'll fly away. Some are like footballs. You can't tell which way they'll bounce the next time. Some Christians are like neon lights. They keep going on and off. Make sure you know what type of Christian you're in a relationship with. Observe how much interest your friend has in participating in activities that please the Lord. And I am here to tell you, one of the disappointments that I have observed over the years is that Christians are in relationships, and if you listen to where they go, you hear them talk about almost every other pursuit and place except anything that has to do with the Lord. But here's what my Bible tells me in that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse number 20, it says this: you were what? Bought at a price. Therefore what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I want that verse to be riveted home in your heart, my friend. As you pursue a relationship, make sure you focus on activities that glorify the Lord, because the Word of God says you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God. And I tell you, if you're in a relationship and the activities that you are pursuing are activities that bring glory to God, I guarantee you it's going to have a positive impact on the relationship. Number two, maintain sexual purity. Make no mistake, as strong as you think you are, a relationship with a person who is not committed to sexual purity can harm you. Here's a great verse, and we're not going to turn to it, but you can write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says this: bad company ruins good morals. I want you to grab a hold of that verse. And it's not just for relationships. It's a general principle. Young person, you're here. You're not even interested in a relationship. But it affects who you choose to be your friends. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, bad company ruins good morals. The truth be known, many young persons and older people have been destroyed because of their friends. So if the person you're dating is okay with sex before marriage, might I suggest to you, you are in the wrong relationship.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant Steve Washington, and our entire church family. This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.